She had a clean bill of health, though. No indicators of cardiovascular problems. Muzurawa made a helpless little shrug. It's different down there, my friend. Very different. They stayed by the airlock, talking, guessing, worrying, until the hatch slid open again and Crystal Krebs stepped through, blinking uncertainly, like a burrowing animal exposed to unaccustomed light. "Where is Pascal?" she asked, her voice sharp, cutting. "In the infirmary," Grant said. "Take me there. Immediately." And she extended her hand to Grant like a blind person asking to be led. With your shield. Grant got only as far as the security guards stationed at the access tunnel's entrance. One of them took Krebs up the corridor, toward the infirmary, while another told the rest of them to follow him. He walked the group to the small conference room that they had been using as a wardroom. The guard captain was already there, standing at the head of the oval conference table. "Dr. Wu wants you to stay here until further orders," he told them. "What about dinner?" Frankovich bleated. "We haven't had anything to eat all day, just about." The captain eyed Frankovich disdainfully. "We'll bring in dinner trays for you a bit later on. For now, you remain here. The director's orders. No exceptions." He left and closed the door firmly. Karstad puffed out of breath. "That's the longest speech I've ever heard from old Eagle Beak." "We're prisoners," said Ukara, scowling at the idea. Grant wanted to try the door, but realized that even if it was not locked, there would be guards posted out in the corridor. Maybe even Sheena was out there. Abruptly, the door slid open. Startled, Grant jumped back. Krebs stepped into the room, stopped, peered at Grant as if she could barely see him. She was fully dressed in a turtleneck sweater and jeans. "How is Irene?" O'Hara asked. She and the others had not been able to put on fresh clothes. They still held blankets wrapped around themselves. Krebs turned toward the sound of her voice. "They're still trying to revive her." She limped to the table, leaned both hands on it. "We are to remain here until Dr. Wu can talk with us." "Well," said Muzurawa, clutching his blanket, "I suppose we should follow the ancient dictum. When handed a lemon, make lemonade." And he pulled out one of the molded plastic chairs from the table and sat down. The chair creaked slightly. Krebs made her way to the head of the table as the others took chairs for themselves. Instead of sitting, though, she remained on her feet. "We should use this time to review what happened," she said, flat and cold. "No room for disagreement or even discussion." "Could we get some decent clothing, do you think?" O'Hara asked. "Later," said Krebs. She used the conference room's smart walls to display the mission's data records. Grant studied the propulsion and power system's performance. Nothing out of the ordinary. Everything functioned normally, with smooth efficiency. No one else seemed to find any anomalies in their areas either. Even Pascal's medical data showed her to be fine until suddenly her heart rate, blood pressure, and pulse all spiked at once. "There's nothing to indicate the chest pain she complained of," Frankovich noted. Krebs snapped, and it was not severe enough to register on the monitoring systems. "Let's look at her EEG," Muzurawa suggested. "That loss of limb control should show something in the record." It did not. O'Hara murmured, "Could it have been psychosomatic, do you think?" They went through the data for hours. Two guards came in with dinner trays for them. Krebs ordered them to bring clothes for the three blanket-clad crew members. They ate as they talked, discussed, argued over the data. "As far as the records are concerned," Kayla Ukara said, frowning angrily, "nothing went wrong." "Not until Irene doubled over," Muzurawa said. He looked troubled, Grant thought. Karstad had recovered some of his old flippancy. "Maybe she scared herself to death." "She's not dead," Ukara snapped. "Want to bet?" Karstad sneered. "If she were okay, Patty, or maybe even old Woeful himself, would have come in here and told us." "They are still working on her, most likely," said Muzurawa. "Now, if they're still working on her after this many hours, she's a goner."
"That's a terrible thing to say," O'Hara muttered.
Karstad shrugged nonchalantly. "Well, it's like the ancient Spartan mothers used to tell their sons. Come back with your shield or on it." Irene came back on hers.
"I still think it's a terrible thing for you to say," O'Hara repeated.
Okara glowered at him. Why? Are you afraid that my saying it will make it come true? The corridor door slid open and Dr. Wo wheeled his power chair into the room. He looked exhausted, drained. For the first time, Grant thought of the director as old.
Dr. Pascal died without recovering consciousness, he said, his grating, rough voice desolate, bleak. All attempts to revive her were useless.
Grant read the emotions on their faces. Shock, loss, fear. Kayla looked angry, but beyond her grim expression, Grant thought he saw tears in her eyes.
Mr. Archer, said Dr. Wo, you will assume Dr. Pascal's place in the crew. You will prepare yourself for the necessary surgery tomorrow.
It hit Grant like a thunderclap.
Me? Surgery?
Stunned, Grant felt his heart flip in his chest. He looked across the table at Karlstad, smirking at him now.
With your shield or on it, Karlstad mouthed silently.
Surgery. With growing nervousness, Grant smeared the depilating cream over every part of his body. They're going to immerse me in that goo, he kept saying to himself. They're going to drown me. It had been difficult enough to chop the hair off his head and then shave the remainder down to bare skin. The depilating cream only worked on thin body hair or shaved stubble. Trying to reach his calves and buttocks in the cramped confines of his laboratory made him feel clumsy and stupid. He kept banging elbows and stubbing toes as he contorted his limbs. The cream was slick and slimy. When he washed it off, it was furred with his hair. He wondered if it would clog the shower drain, then realized that he really didn't give a damn. No matter how many times he told himself that it was all right, that he'd be able to breathe the liquid PFCL just the way Lane and Zeb and all the others did, Grant felt the fear rising inside him, and resentment growing into anger. I don't want to do this, he thought, but Woe's given me no choice. He points his finger, and I get dunked into the drowning tank. It's just as Egon said. Woe pulls the strings and we puppets dance. No questions, no appeals, no help. He found himself praying as he washed the antiseptic-smelling cream off his legs, his arms and armpits, his groin. He prayed for understanding, for acceptance, and above all, for courage. Don't let me make an ass of myself when it's time to go into the immersion tank, he asked silently. Don't let them see how scared I am. Well, he told himself, if Egon can go through with it, I can. Still, his hand shook. The harsh buzz of the phone startled him so badly he dropped the washcloth. Answer phone, he called out. From the laboratory, Grant couldn't make out whose face it was on the desktop phone screen, but he heard the guard captain's coldly insolent voice. The surgical team is waiting for you. Should I send some of my men to fetch you? I'm almost ready, Grant answered, the heat of anger flushing his face. I'll get there on my own. 10 minutes, said the captain. Otherwise, I'll have to come after you. Grant finished his washing as best he could, then pulled on a fresh set of coveralls and moccasins. He went to the door, hesitated. You've got to do it, he told himself. You have no option. Seething with irritation and a growing, helpless apprehension, he yanked the door back and strode up the corridor toward the immersion center. As he stalked along, his anger gave way more and more to outright fear. The Lord is my shepherd, Grant said silently. I shall not want. By the time he reached the immersion center, he'd repeated the psalm 12 times. The captain and 6 guards were waiting for him. Sheena was there too, hunkered down on the floor by the tank, munching on a pile of celery stalks. She hauled herself up onto all fours and knuckle-walked toward Grant. Hello, Sheena, he said tightly.
Grant, swim, the gorilla rasped, like fish.
He swallowed hard. The guard captain came up. We're running late. Sorry, Grant muttered, kicking off his moccasins. Then he unzipped his coveralls. One of the guards whistled as Grant stepped out of his clothes.
Nice legs, the other snapped.